Let's go to the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. That's where we'll find my text. I have had a wonderful day today in the Lord. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord since I've been here, and what I've gotten out of the meeting is blessing my soul from just right off. And from the very first few words I heard, right on down, I appreciate that. Start reading toward the latter part of this chapter. Well, I guess really about the middle of it, about the middle of the chapter. And here about the 27th verse, 32 and 27 of Deuteronomy, says, "Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our land is high, and the Lord hath not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight, except the rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For the rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." Now, I want to deal with the 29th verse. It said, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." I want to deal with the thought of considering their latter end. Now, tonight, I want to go back and I want to bring this out a little different. And that is, there was a house that I used to clean many years ago in Oklahoma City, not too far from where I live, on the northeast side. And the man that owned this house was named Jerry Kerr. He had owned a brokerage business in Oklahoma City and evidently had done pretty good. And they had retired, semi-retired, as he had gotten up, and he wasn't that old a man. And they had had about 200-300 acres of ranch land, and had cattle and horses and dogs and I don't know what all. And they had built a nice home. They had built a beautiful home. Two-story, had fine wood paneling in it. And so when I first went there, I just loved the home. I just fell in love with it. I appreciated it. It was easy to clean. And I enjoyed the house. Well, as time went on, they had some dogs. Now, I'm not talking about chihuahuas and poodles. I'm talking about collies and dogs that herding dogs for cattle. I can't think what they're called. And they had a number of them, about a dozen. They let them dogs in and out of that house. They about had free rein. And so them dogs, they began to scratch on the woodwork. One time I walked into the daughter's bedroom, Pamela, and there was a hole in the wall. I said, "Pamela," I said, "what happened to your wall?" Said, "there was a mouse run across the room. The dog went after it and hit the wall, knocked a hole right in the wall." All kind of things. I had to clean up dog messes all over the house. And so you can imagine what happened to that house. It went downhill and downhill and downhill. I talked to Rebecca and told her about the house after we got married. And if I'm not mistaken, she went there once with me. And she told me, said, "Carl, all you told me could not prepare me for what I saw. It had dropped that far. It had deteriorated that much." And it made me sick at heart because I watched it go down and down and down. All right, now then, let's connect another area. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I believe it's the 3rd chapter. The 16th verse, maybe. Yeah, 3 and 16 of 1 Corinthians. "Know you not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, whence temple ye are." And then 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 19th verse, said what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, every one of us here has watched people. You possibly had a family member, or you have possibly had a neighbor or friend that you started watching them when they were fairly young. They took the route of sin. You watched them mutilate their bodies, so to speak, damage themselves, hurt themselves. The devil moved in, chained them, bound them. You saw the hardness keep creeping on their faces, their fixtures, and so forth. And you watched them tear their bodies literally up over a period of time. Now, folks, the Bible said that our body is the temple. God did not create us but to serve God. We were created, we were born to serve God. We weren't created to go out there and serve the devil. God didn't make us to be a pack mule for sin. God didn't make us to go out there and enjoy the pleasures of sin. God created you and I for one reason, and that is to serve Him, to glorify Him, to bless Him, and to bless the people around us, and do the things God wanted us to do. That's what He created us to do. So consequently, the Lord help us tonight to see that, consider their latter end. The United States today is in a position that is void of counsel. The United States, I'm talking about spiritual counsel, I'm talking about spiritual wisdom, I'm talking about spiritual knowledge. We are a nation that is void of that. There's not any understanding in us anymore concerning holiness and godliness much. We're a nation that has fallen way down compared to what we used to be 200 and something years ago. But what we are, and that is the fact that He said, oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. Lord, help us tonight. There is people out there that is not considering their latter end. I don't know if the curs really realized when they started letting all them dogs in the house what they were going to do. Maybe they did, but I just imagine in my mind that if Jerry and Ann would have really beginning to consider and think of what the latter end of that would have been when they started allowing those dogs to scratch on the walls and do their thing over here and do their thing over there, and all the dirt and the dust and all the crime and grime that they brought in the house, I just wonder if they would have done things a little bit different. Plus maybe all the fleas and no telling what all they brought in there. They were big dogs and they'd done a lot of damage. There's a lot of people tonight that they need to sit down and consider of the fact that if I take this route or if I take that route, that's going to end me up into a devil's hell, or that's going to end me up into a situation that I really do not want to be in. But you know, tonight people are not really considering the depths of what's going to happen to them, and so consequently they're going on, they're doing what they want to do, but the bottom line is that they're going to get themselves deeper and deeper and further as the devil wants them to do, and then they're going to end up and wonder, how am I got myself into this kind of mess? Consider their latter end. The Lord wants you and I to consider, to meditate upon, to view or observe, to remember, to reflect upon carefully, to be of opinion, to deliberate seriously. Considerable is worthy of attention. Considered means carefully thought out. You and I are going to have decisions that is going to affect us for eternity. So consequently, the decisions we make, especially the major decisions, needs to be made by the help of God. They don't need to be made on a fleshly desire. They don't need to be made on a whim and a wham. They need to be made on the fact that this thing could affect me for eternity. I could end up lost because I'm not doing, or possibly because this thing could lead me on down the Broadway into a way that I don't want to be. considered their latter end? Are you considering, young people, middle-aged and old, are you considering tonight what any decisions that you're making, are you considering what it could do to you? Are you considering how far it can take you? Are you considering how much damage it can do to you? Like I said, there's multitudes of people tonight that is in the gutters of sin, that's laying on the sides of the street, that's sleeping in cardboard cities, winos and drug addicts and stuff like this, and they started out and they never had any idea that what they were doing were going to lead them to that desperate situation. There was a young lady, Brother Earl will probably remember this, in a funeral, not a funeral home, but a nursing home that we cleaned at one time. And she wasn't very old. She was about my age, best I remember, in her 30s. And she was in a wheelchair. And she was bent over. In other words, she was just laying face down like in a tray in front of her. And she was down like this and she couldn't even straighten up. We got to inquiring, I don't know which one of us men did, but we got to inquire what happened to her. She wasn't very old. She shouldn't be bent over like that. She should be in that sad situation. And they told us she got to dabbling with drugs. And drugs destroyed her. And if I'm not mistaken, she was a teacher at one time. A well thought of individual in the United States that had been a socially acceptable individual that had helped people and helped children and done things that was good for America. But the devil had got her and she had got hung up on drugs. And I don't remember just what she took or what happened. But the bottom line was there she was in that kind of fix. She didn't consider. Listen, folks, tonight we need to consider very carefully before we touch sin in any way. We need to consider what the end of that thing is going to be. Because sin has a high price that will destroy you and ruin you in every way if the devil can. Let's go to the 5th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Now, he says here, and when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear. Bible said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Yeah. It says, slow to speak and swift to hear, I believe the Bible said. So Lord, help us, every one of us tonight, I beg you, turn in on this. Get your minds considering what the word of the Lord is saying. It's not my message, it's the Lord's message. I've carried this for several days. I didn't just come over this. It's been prayer and so forth over this. But the bottom line is, when you come into the house of the Lord, when you come to meeting, let us turn off everything but God. Let us turn off everything but the Word of God. Let us turn off everything but the message and the songs and so forth, and get into what the Lord is trying to talk to us about. Amen. 23rd chapter of Job, 14th, 15th verse says this, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and maketh such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Now, he said, therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. There's people that don't want to come to meeting because when they do, they get under conviction. God deals with them. When you step into this building, many, many times God's finger is working all over and dealing with individuals all over this chapel. So consequently, people, they stay away from meeting. But folks, tonight, God goes home with a lot of them too. God follows them home. and he's trying to make your heart soft. He's trying to deal with you. He's trying to call after you. He's trying to work with you and help you to see that give me your heart. Change your mind. Change your pattern. Change your life. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He is trying to do that, working to soften, working to make you to where that you'll humble your heart and do exactly what God is calling you to do. So consequently, when you come here, there's a reason that you come here. You're not here totally by chance. You're here by appointment of God. And I'm troubled at His presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of Him. You ought to be in awe of the Almighty Holy God in Christ tonight. You ought to stand in awe. You ought to consider and think, this is God I'm dealing with. You're not just dealing with the ministers. You're not just dealing with the saints or grandma or grandpa or mom or daddy. You're dealing with an almighty God. You're doing business for eternity. This is a very serious time and place that you're at tonight and every night and every service this meeting. So consequently, you and I need to give everything we've got to these services. Because the Lord is here and He's working. He is trying to get you to heaven. He wants you to get to heaven worse than you want to get there. And you and I will give Him everything that we can. God will get us there. At the end of every man's life is God. We're going to deal with God. You can hide from God. You can run from God. You can climb under things from God. You can do everything you want to do right now to get away from God. And you can run from Him the rest of your life. But folks, when you step out into eternity, when your life is over and you step out into eternity, you're not going to run anymore. That's God's eternity. And you're going to deal with Him. You're going to meet Him head on, so to speak. And you're going to do exactly what He says then. No running then. No hiding then. No crying for the rocks and the mountains then. You're going to hear the very words of God. And that is what He says to you. I had a type of a vision a year and a half ago. And in that vision, I was praying. And I saw Jesus. And He was standing there. And as He was standing there, I looked at Him and it said the Word. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm the Word. Some people say, well, we don't have to do what this Bible said. We can do anything we want to do, but we're living for Jesus. Listen, folks, Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus. That's what it is. You can't just go and put the Bible out one deal and say, I'm going to live, do whatever I want to do and live for Jesus. That ain't the way it is. So consequently, when we hit eternity and we come before Jesus Christ, the Word is going to be standing right there. And if we have rejected it, disobeyed it in any way, that's going to stick out like a sore thumb. You're going to deal with that. You're going to meet that. Consider their latter end. Oh, that they were wise and that they would consider their latter end. That they're going to meet God at the end of their life. And He said on them on the right hand, come you blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But then He said on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. Amen. Consider their latter end. Yes, Lord. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 right quick. Consider 7 and 13. Consider the work of God. Really, this starts at the 11th verse, but I mainly want to concentrate on 14. Consider the work of God. Who can make that straight which He has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one against the other. The other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Now, if you're doing well financially, thank the Lord. But if you've done well financially, now you're not doing so well financially. God has had His hand in this to get you to consider. Yeah. To get you to think, to get you to weigh out, to get you to consider eternity, to get you to consider the things of God, to get you to consider what God has for you. Consider their latter end. Are you considering tonight your latter end? Let's go to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, 4 and 39. Deuteronomy 4 and 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God, heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is none else. Amen. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. He said, thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments. Consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God. Now, saints, we're not pulling any wool over God's eyes. There was a man one time that I was working with, and I was trying to get him to go to church and everything, and having trouble getting him to do that. I think he went one time, maybe. But anyway, he told me point blank. He said, I can fool you, and I can fool other people, but said, I can't pull the wool over God's eyes. I thought, that's a pretty good thought, Elsa. You can't do it. You can't either. God is, all things are naked and open with Him, with who? Eyes may have to do something like that. In other words, all things are open before God. Saints, no matter where you go or what you do, you're going to be watched by God. He's looking, He's considering, He's weighing. We're going to get into that he don't forget anything. He remembers all things. Unless you get it put under the blood and washed and put it far as the east is from the west, otherwise all these things are going to be dealt with one day. Consider their latter end. Are you considering that some of the things that you're considering doing, want to do, or thinking about doing, have you considered what that might do? How far that might take you? Where you might end up? It's all right, Brother Carl. I can do whatever I want to do. No, you can't. He said, keep my statutes and my commandments. These are the things which I command thee this day. This is the commands of God. This is the Word of God. This is the eternal Word of God. And consequently, this is God speaking to you and I. And you and I can't just go out there and do anything we want to do. Some people want to dress the way they want to dress. Some people want to drink what they want to drink. Some people want to go to the world and do what they want to do. The Word of God does not specifically say you can't smoke a cigarette. But there is principles in there that condemn it. It don't say you cannot drink a Dr. Pepper. But there's principles in there that to deal with that. Brother Leslie made a statement today, I believe in 1 Timothy there, where it talks about shamefacedness and sobriety. And shamefacedness means that we want to clothe ourselves. People are saying, well, I want to wear short sleeves and start trimming things off. You've seen it, and I've seen it, that people that a lot of times they want to start doing those things, it's a downward slide from that point. Consider their latter end. Well, I can just do this or do that. I can trim this and trim that. I can trim my hair. Watch out, preacher. I can trim this. I can start raising my skirts real short. Or I can start cutting my sleeves real short. Or I can put this on or take that off or change this. Modesty of apparel. And if you want to study that out, It's a long study. And then if you want to go a step further, tackle the modesty of Christ and see what that teaches you.
Yeah, yeah.
The further I follow this and the more I learn and the longer I go, I am more convinced in my heart that the obedient and the willing are going to eat the good of the land and go to heaven.
Yeah.
That's where you and I need to be. Be obedient. You know, people want to drink coffee. People wanting to, one person put it this way, recently a minister said the Lord spoke with them and said this was a forgotten doctrine. I don't know about you, brethren, but maybe it's time to start crying out on this a little bit as the Lord leads. Begin to let it know our temple is a temple of God. Our temple is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Our temple is made for God to be blessed with and so forth. And some people say, well, why can't we drink coffee? Why can't we drink Dr. Pepper's all day? Why can't we drink Coca-Cola's? I tell you why. You know why? It's bondage. My own daughter got to drinking Dr. Pepper. I warned her. Her mama warned her. She went right on and drank it. But later she admitted to my wife, said, Mama, I got addicted to that thing. Had to have so many a day. I had an uncle that was addicted to Pepsi, I believe it was, and his wife addicted to Dr. Pepper. And if they didn't drink so many of them things a day, guess what? They got a headache. They felt the effects of it. That's bondage, dear ones. The Lord does not want you and I to bondage to anything. God comes to set us free. He wants us to be that away from now on. Praise God. He don't want us bound and having to do this and having to do that. He wants us to be able to do what the Lord wants us to do and be free and happy as a bird and enjoy life. And consequently, these things put us into bondage. Have to have so many cups of coffee a day. There's a man we worked with that loves Starbucks. I told some of the installers, I said, I'd like to have the money he just spends at that place. All the money he put out, $2 and $3 at a time at Starbucks. I love the man dearly and still do. But he wasn't among the saints now. And he drank a lot of coffee. Well, evidently there's thousands upon thousands that's addicted to that stuff. And the Lord doesn't want us to be addicted. 1 Peter 1 and 14. 1 Peter 1 and 14.
Amen.
As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
Jesus is holy.
Yeah.
God is holy. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, don't go back and do the things you used to do. I got to reading on Adam Clark in this and Matthew Henry, and both of them was extremely close. They didn't give any room at all. The bottom line was it's going to take obedience to make heaven and nothing short of that. Obedient to the light that you have, the understanding you've got. If you don't have light and understanding on these things, that's one thing. But if God has dealt, God has helped you to understand, God has given you a conviction on things like this, for you and I to go back on that is going to get us in trouble with God. Amen. That's what will happen. So consequently, the Lord wants us to be obedient children. He doesn't want us to fashion ourselves according to our former lust, the things we used to do. He wants us to follow Him in all the light and the understanding, rejoicing and praising God and shouting and doing the things God would have us to do. He doesn't want us going to the ball games. He doesn't want us going back to the world. He doesn't want us getting involved with things like that. He wants us praying. He wants us reading and studying and being rejoiceful in ourselves.
Amen.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your conversation and conduct. Lord, help us. That's what the Lord is interested in tonight, is us being holy, godly. When the holiness movement began, and there has been times through the years that great revivals have fired up. And I read books written by people that have been involved in the holiness movements and so forth among us and so forth. And God worked mightily. God worked mightily. All right, let's go to Job, the 34th chapter, 21st verse. Consider their latter end. Consider their latter end. 34:21 of Job says, "For his eyes are upon the ways of man, seeth all his goings. For there is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number and set orders in their stead. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways." Job 11:11, to kind of connect in with here, just one scripture. He says, "For he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it?" The Lord does some considering too. Now, one asks us, and I don't know if anybody's doing any of this or not, but I've got some things that I feel the Lord has given me, and I want to talk about them a little bit tonight. The people that these scriptures are talking about in the 34th chapter, because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways. The Lord's ways, the right way, the blessed way, the happy way. I can go out and try this, Brother Carl, and I'll be all right. I want to ask you several questions tonight. Have you considered what the latter end will be if you just started smoking just a little bit? Oh, just a little cigarette here and that'd be all right. It'd be all right if I smoked just a little bit. It's no big deal. Is it? Look at those people that have to talk through a tube in their throat. Look at those people. How many of you have sat by the bedside of somebody that's eat up with cancer because they have smoked cigarettes many years and their lungs are eat up? How many of you have been in those places that seen? I know cancer comes on people other ways, but the bottom line is the Surgeon General advises on the pack of cigarettes that these things are dangerous to your health. He says that, just point blank. And doctors smoke, nurses smoke, lawyers smoke, but that still don't make it right. Consider the latter end of the bondage of the things that happens because you just wanted to smoke just a little bit. And that little bit turns into a little bit bigger bit, a little bit bigger bit, and before long, it's worse than ever. Socially drinking. Well, I want to just drink just a little bit. A little social drink once in a while. Cleaned the house of a lawyer and his wife, Clyde and Gigi. They were getting ready for a party one time, a Christmas gathering or a party for the employees. I don't remember. She owned Remax First in Oklahoma City. Anyway, Clyde then was there and I was there and we were cleaning, and Clyde was getting out some liquor and stuff, and I don't know what all they were going to do totally. But he had a bottle in his hand. He said, "You see this?" He said, "I have to be real careful with this bottle." He said, "If I let this stuff, it'd get me real quick." I got a lot of respect for that man. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people can do what Clyde does. They can't just take a little bit. Had a book given to me that I read one time on the ABCs of alcoholics. I have heard my mother make statements like, "Carl, alcoholics have the DTs." You know what the DTs are? The DTs are when an alcoholic gets to a certain place, and it may only happen a few times in their lifetime if they're an alcoholic several years, but it is a place where that they begin to see things. Animals, bugs, different things. And one man was in a telephone booth and he was calling somebody. He said, "Please come get me. These bugs are trying to get me." Now you may think that's funny, but I got news for you. That man was horrified. Let me tell you one of the most horrible stories in that book. Man was an alcoholic and his wife and him had a new baby. Wasn't very old. This man was out, he was an alcoholic, he was a drinker anyway, I don't know really how much of an alcoholic he was, but he did drink, and he'd gone out and gotten drunk. His wife and the baby was over at the next door at the neighbor sitting on the front porch visiting, and he come home and he was mad. And he let her know, said, "You come in this house," and he reached down and he grabbed that child right out of her arms. And he had it in the house. And he took that sweet baby and he laid it on the floor and he grabbed a big butcher knife and he cut its head, its sweet arm. He cut it off in a rage. He cut it off in a drunken stupor. He cut it off in a fit of sin. He cut it off because the devil got him to do it. When he woke up to what he had done, he nearly lost his mind, folks. He nearly went crazy. "Oh, but I can drink a little bit and get by with it." One minister used to say, there was one man over here drinking beer, looking at that man over there drinking beer, and he said, or that alcoholic over there, he said, "I'll never be like him." Don't fool yourself. You can be an alcoholic very easy if you don't be very careful. Consider the latter end. I dare say that most of the people that have drank and gotten out into the alcoholism, they never intended for it to go that far, and they never considered when they took that first drink what it might do to them. Never considered it. Never even weighed it out. I'm going to tell you there's multitudes of problems today that if people would just stop and consider and not do it, it would save many tears and a lot of problems. That book opened up to my eyes of just how horrible alcoholism is. Of the things, these people that wrote this book was people that had a type of alcoholic place to try to recover these people. And they were gospel people. They tried through the things of God and the Bible and so forth. They fed them. They took them places. They done all kind of things for them. But in all the years that those people done that, very few people come out of that. Very few. Why? Because it is so bad of a bondage. They said they would go to rooms and the people would be wallowing in beds, soaked with their own. And that's all I'm going to say. Soaked with things coming from their bodies. They said the stench, the bottles laying around, and the filth and so forth. All because somebody wanted to take a drink. Somebody wanted to do this and that. And they ended up an alcoholic. Consider their latter end. Lord, help us today to think many times over before we take one drink or smoke one cigarette. Amen. Marijuana smoking. "Oh, but it's all right, Brother Carl. I can smoke marijuana. I can handle it, can you?" Can you handle a bottle of alcohol or beer? Had a man one time that I worked with and worked for, and he told me, he said, "Carl," he said, "I've thrown down a lot of packs of cigarettes and gone right back and picked them up. I've made so many New Year's resolutions and just gone back and got them." But he said, "When I found Jesus, when I got saved, Brother Carl, he quit. When I found Jesus, that kind of stuff stopped. Praise God." Oh, tonight, marijuana smoking. There's a lot of people that's hooked on marijuana tonight that I guarantee you didn't consider their latter end before they started smoking the first joint or weed or whatever they call it. Doing meth, methamphetamines. I guess that is a horrible thing that people have got involved with. Oklahoma, for a state, has tried to do all they could do to shut meth labs down, but I guess it's still going on somewhat, especially in other states. It's going on. And if the people would just consider, don't make it, don't use it. Gambling. How many of you have ever dealt with somebody that's addicted to gambling? Somebody that had something and now don't have anything because of gambling. I'm going to make a pretty bash statement here, and that's just Carl. But we took the American Indian, and we took them from the South, and we in the East, and so forth, and we had the Trail of Tears, and we brought them back here, and we done this, and we done that. But folks, the Indian's making a fool out of the white man right now. All these casinos. I have a chapel, or we have a chapel that's not very far from a casino. I drive by one going back and forth every time I went by the Grand Casino. When I come out here and go I-40, those places have got so many people in them, it makes me sick. And I'm talking about it any hour, day or night. I've been going by there for Brother Vader, various things. And that Grand, or that Fire Lake Casino had multitudes of people. Might be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Gambling is addictive. Amen. It's addictive, dear ones. It is a very addictive thing. And I have dealt with it. One person thought they could go and just do a little bit and get by. But that addiction was too strong, and it kept getting up and getting up till they lost so much money. I've heard people talk. And they say, "Well, we like to go to the casino and just gamble a little bit." Don't go to a casino at all. I've never walked into one, have no desire to go into one. I just drive by and keep going. Praise God. Have no use for the things. Oh, but that's so addictive. It is ruining. It is robbing. It is destroying. It's keeping children from eating. It's taking homes away from families. They're losing their cars over because they're gambling all their money away. It's just like alcoholism. There's people that drink it all away and don't have nothing about booze yet. That's happened many times. Oh, consider their latter end. They probably never thought when they went in that casino that one day they would be addicted and they could not quit going to that place. Committing fornication. This is a horrible sin that's ravaging the world. It's not only in the United States, but it's ravaging the world. Your body. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, again it said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There have been many a girlfriend that has been, and boyfriend, that has been crying bitter tears because their friend went out and committed fornication on them. It's a horrible thing. And I'm awful hard on this right here. I kept myself pure. I had people that tempted me or tried to tempt me. And I just let them know in no uncertain terms, there ain't no way I'm going to do that. I'm not going to touch it. Adultery, the same way. Married people and go out and commit adultery against their companion. I'm going to tell you, I wish they would just think of the things that would happen. The hurt, the pain, the suffering, the children, the wife, the family, who are the husband, whatever it might be. I might like to be a little mouse in Tiger Woods' house today. Like to know what Tiger's thinking after he went out and had 16 women. Had a pretty wife. And yet he went out. I wonder what he thought the first time that he'd done it. He was known as a very clean athlete. He was one of the greatest ones out there. I wouldn't model after him. I'm after Jesus. But the bottom line was, and somebody said 16 women. I don't know that for a fact. I just heard that. But the bottom line is Tiger Woods today has got himself into a lot of trouble because he went out committing adultery on his companion. He was the powerful Tiger Woods. I don't care how big you are, that stuff can bring you down to the bottom. It'll ruin you. It'll destroy you. Not only does it do what it does to you, the emotions and the feelings and all the other things that go with it, the bottom line is it does a lot of damage to people, the wife, the children, family people around you, the very fact that if you're ever able to face the people on the golf course again. How would you like to go out there after you've done that kind of stuff? It's horrible. Consider. Read an article in the paper. A appliance repairman wrote Abby or Ann or somebody. And he had gone to a house. And that house was a woman. According to this man writing the letter, she was a beautiful woman. And she let it be known, I would like to have you. And he resisted her and stood against it. But he told Abby, he said, the chances are I'm liable to have to go back. What would you tell me to do? She said, don't do it under no terms. Don't go back to the house. And whatever you do, don't commit adultery on your family. Don't do it. The effects of it are lasting. The effects of it, it affects you in so many ways. This is not something that's just a light put on. This is so terrible. Children, young people. Bible said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Keep your hands off of one another, young people. Boys don't touch the girls. Girls don't touch the boys. We have got into a loose age anymore that, well, a little hug don't hurt. But my Bible said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Somebody said, well, that's only in certain aspects. I'm going to say just don't do it, period. Don't do it. Because familiarity can get to working. And one thing can go to another. And then next thing you know, the devil's trying to get you in right against what I'm preaching tonight. Anger. How many people has been gotten angry towards somebody and done something they wish they'd never done? Even killed them, maybe. Maybe a hurt against somebody. Oh, it's all right. I can be hurt against somebody. It'll be okay. No. It's not wrong to be hurt. It's what you do with the wrong. It's what you do with the hurt that can be wrong. The best thing to do is take a hurt to Jesus. That way it don't turn into anything bigger than that, because the devil loves to make mountains out of molehills. Devil loves to do that. So Lord, help us tonight to consider. Before you let any bitterness even try, allow hurt to fester and work on that. Work hard against that thing. Don't allow it to go too far. Say, Lord, help me. I don't want to be angry toward them. I don't want to have a hurt toward them. I don't want to have no bitterness. Lord, help me to not do that. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go to 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth with all your heart. And consider how great things. The Lord has done great things for every individual in this building. He has blessed you and helped you and done things for you all down through the years. It's the mercy of God that you're here. It's the mercy of God you've got a chance to listen to the Word of God. It's the mercy of God that you've got a chance to serve God. It's the mercy of God we're still saved and living for God. All right, Hebrews 3:1. Great scripture in the Bible. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, Christ Jesus. We need to consider Jesus tonight. Any time that you're tempted to do any of these things, you need to consider Jesus. You need to consider the fact that over here in another scripture in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, the 24th verse, said, but this man, because he continueth ever, have an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost, uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven. He is able to save them to the uttermost. That's talking about Jesus. That's talking about the power of God. That's talking about what He can do for mankind. Jesus is able to do for you what nobody else can do. There's people tonight that have habits, have problems, that is in a position one way or another, and they need deliverance and they need help. I'm going to tell you, you need to consider Jesus tonight. You need to consider what He can do. Praise God. When you're tempted, you need to think about Jesus and think about how holy, harmless, undefiled and glorious He is, and that you're not going to die because you love Him and you want to serve Him. I don't want to get bitter. I don't want to have anger towards somebody. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to tell you tonight, people, they need to think about Jesus. They need to consider Him because He's the one that died. He shed His blood on the cross. He done everything needed to give you a heavenly home. Praise God. And to do things for you that nobody else can do. Oh, consider Him. The apostle and high priest of your profession, Christ Jesus. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Him. I want everybody to consider Him tonight. Everybody needs to consider Jesus. Consider Him. You need to consider the latter end. You need to consider the latter end that Jesus has for you. And that is heaven, praise God. You need to consider the peace, the joy, the glory. You need to consider what Jesus can do for you in every way, praise God. If it wasn't Jesus, there ain't no saint in here would be here. But if by His mercy and power, His grace and glory, praise God, that you and I are able to do the things that we're doing, it's Jesus. We've considered Him. We've weighed Him out. And He has done things. He wants to take us to heaven, praise God. He wants to bless us, and He gives us peace and joy. You need to consider what He can give you, praise God. He can give you more than anything else in the world. Amen. Consider Jesus. Consider the latter end. Look at what the Lord has done for the saints. Look at what He has done for your saved parents and grandparents. Consider what He's done. And then if you ought to look at it, look what the devil's done. It don't take a PhD, folks, to figure out that the way that the devil takes you down the Broadway and what he does, and the way the Lord takes you up the highway of holiness, there's a total great difference between the two. Consider Jesus. Consider what He will do for you. Praise God. Well, I've got problems, Brother Carl. You don't understand. I'm going to tell you, there's not a problem, there's not a sin, there's not a trouble that Jesus is not able to heal and mend and deliver from. Praise God. Jesus can do it. Consider Jesus. Consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, of our profession, Jesus Christ. Consider Jesus. He wants to do good to you tonight. He wants to help you. He wants to save you to the uttermost. He wants to deliver you. He wants to help you in any way you need tonight. Consider Jesus. I'm going to tell you, He's troubling. He's working. He's dealing. He's calling after. Because He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to be blessed by Him. Consider Jesus. Consider what He can do tonight. But I've failed, I've fallen, I've backslid, I've tried this and I've done that, and it ain't worked. I'm going to tell you, don't quit, praise God. I'm going to tell you, if you got to come to the altar every day of your life, don't quit. But Jesus wants to take you to glory, praise God. Amen. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He gave His all for you. Just like that vision He gave me that time, He said, I died for you, child. I died for you, Carl Schaefer. I'm going to tell you, that gave me a whole different aspect of what's going on. A whole different aspect. Let's go to Hosea, the 7th chapter. I'm just about done. First verse, 7:1 of Hosea. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, and they are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. He said, they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Oh, dear ones, tonight the Lord don't forget. You know, I may forget. You may do me wrong, and I may forget all about it. May not ever consider it anymore. But I'm going to tell you, when you sin against God, the only way that sin can be removed is by the blood of Jesus. And tonight, the Lord, He is looking, He is seeing, He knows all about everything we're doing, every place we're going. Why, nobody knows about it, but nobody knows about you, might think, but the Lord knows about it. He's remembering it. He's weighing it out. You need to consider God is remembering this. That it just don't pass off because you get from a teenager to your 20s, or if you get to a child to a teenage state, it don't just pass off because of that. The only way to remove it is the blood of Jesus. The only way. The only way to remove that. He said they consider not in their hearts that I remember all. Not some of, but all their wickedness. And now their own doings have beset them about there before my face. Oh, tonight, Jesus don't forget. Now how He remembers all of this, I can't explain that to you, but I'm just telling you what the Bible said. I don't have a mind that deep, but the Lord knows everything. 23 of Jeremiah, the 19th verse said, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until He have executed, until He have performed the thoughts of His heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Won't it be horrible? Or isn't it horrible? Let me put it that way. Isn't it horrible for those people that are out there in eternity lost? Yeah. And they remember the very thing that sent them there. They made a thought, they made an action, or whatever. They considered it, they thought about it, and they went ahead and done it. And that started them on a downward journey, whether it be alcoholism, smoking, drugs, whatever it might be, gambling. And then they end up in eternity. They're going to remember that for all eternity. All eternity. The weeping and the wailing and the gnashing. And they're also going to remember that service that they had a chance to get help in, and they turned that down. They're going to remember that too. They're going to remember that God dealt with them. They're going to remember that they had a chance to get out of that sin. They had a chance of delivering. The preachers and the saints were begging and pleading, but they turned it down. And now they're out into eternity. Listen, folks, we'll have all eternity to think about the things that we should or shouldn't have done. It's going to be there. You're not going to forget it. God's not going to forget your wickedness. And you're not going to forget what you've done either. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You're going to remember that. You're going to remember those things that are there that has put you there. And you're going to wish that you would have never done it. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. There is people today that has broke their health down and got themselves into a real mess physically because of the road they took. And now then they're considering, I wish I'd never done that. I wish I'd never taken that drink. I wish I'd never smoked that cigarette. I wish I'd never done that. They're considering it before they ever get to eternity. Let's not have to consider that away. Let's have the consideration that I consider Jesus, and He saved me, and He's kept me, and I'm happy. All right, let's stand. Have a number. We appreciate your time and attention, your prayers, and your thoughts tonight.